All right, then. Back inside the rider for another talkover episode. Stylus and Dublé.
Hooray! Hooray! Hooray!
Wagwan, Wagwan. What it do? What it do? What it do? I like your hat. I like your hat, by the way. For people that are listening to the audio, you can't see it, but Double's hat is lit.
Thanks, mate. I think this is one of my oldest ones. I have an extensive cap collection.
Color coordination's on point, mate.
Yeah, I love it.
I love it. I love it.
I never told you this, did I? So this jumper I bought from Australia. So I went, obviously, I did the tour last year in Australia. And so you know about Australia. It's like super sunny. It's like 4,000 degrees all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whoever told us that lied. So check this out.
I had to buy a coat.
No, bro, you joke about it, yeah, but check this out. We had a 2.5 week tour booked in Australia. 2.5 weeks worth of day clothes, travel clothes, and show clothes. And obviously, when you do a show, you get sweaty, or I do anyway. I'm a sweaty bastard. So I have to, like, my show clothes are separate to anything else because they end up just sweaty as hell. So anyway, we're going to Australia. Well, obviously, my day clothes are going to be shorts and vests. So that's exactly what I packed. 2 weeks worth of shorts, vests, beach stuff. Imagine Ibiza in July. That's what I'm thinking. That's how I'm packing. I'm going to be surfing. I'm going to be on the beach.
Double had a vision of climbing airs, rocking his shorts.
Bruv, when we got to Australia, we actually flew to New Zealand first, Auckland and Wellington. I think we went to Wellington first. I shit you not, it was snowing.
Wow.
Rob, it was snowing. Yeah, the people there, even the locals were like, yeah, this doesn't really happen here. We don't really get snow like this. It wasn't like crazy snow, but it was snowing. Then the next day, English weather, just raining. It was like England in October. Then we get to Australia, more rain, more wet. Bruv, so I basically had to do an entire new wardrobe for 2 weeks in Australian clothes shops just to not die from the cold. And so that is...
what an anti-climax, man. What an anti-climax that is. Like, have you been to Australia before?
Mm-mm.
Nah, that's what I'm saying, man. You have that vision, innit? Like you just said, sunshine, beautiful scenery, fucking rain.
Just women in bikinis everywhere and just like wedge hench guys in shorts carrying surfboards.
Even in
the cities. Not anywhere. They're not even anywhere near the beach, but they're just there in their board shorts carrying surfboards around. It's like, you know, the London bankers. How the London bankers all wear like suits and carry a briefcase. Mm-hmm. In Australia, I imagined all the Australian bankers, they just walk down the main bank street carrying surfboards board shorts. That's what I imagined Australia was like.
Do you know what? One thing I've never really thought about is like the DJ like community in Australia. Like, I think I follow like one or two guys on Instagram, but it's like I feel like you don't see a lot.
I met some really cool guys in Australia. Actually, they're I don't know about the community. I get the feeling it's quite a small, even though Australia as a country. Country is gigantic.
It's very spread out, though, isn't it, man?
Massive. Yeah.
It's like 95%. It's like 95% desert and rural land. Yo.
Yeah, I think the whole middle part is just like a desolate wasteland. I think I'm not sure. Hopefully it is, because if anyone lives there now, they're going to be highly offended. But yeah, it's like the east coast and the west coast where all the main cities are. But as far as I knew, like from what I could get from it, the DJs there did know each other. But yeah, there was a few guys. Like every DJ I met along the way was super cool.
Oh.
And
they fuck with UK music as well, innit?
Oh, bro. Yeah.
Heavy.
So actually, before we talk about the UK music, one of the main DJs out there, a guy called Dog, who he's quite close with all the LA DJ City guys, which is how I actually met him before.
Oh my God. Brother, someone follow. What's his? What, can you remember his Insta? Because I swear he just followed me on.
Buried by Dog.
How do you spell it? There he is. Yeah, man. That guy just hit me up on Instagram this week.
Right. That's crazy. But I tell you what, yeah, for anyone else listening, if you want to learn about creativity, check out his Club Drill mixtape. Oh, my word.
Hard.
No, like, it's all UK drill and American drill, yeah? And bear in mind, he's an Australian. I haven't heard a single UK DJ do one better.
That's dope.
The best drill mixtape I've ever heard.
Wow.
Like the creativity behind it, bruv, is wild. Like the time it took for him to take to make it is insane. Like, but yeah, shouts to Dog, because that Club Drill mixtape was hard as fuck.
Yeah, sick, man. That's so random. That's so random, because he didn't hit me up, but he followed me on Instagram and the Compound accounts as well this week, man. So yeah, I just got him up now. Production for Lil Jon, Tiger, Snoop. Looks like my man's out here, you know.
Yeah, he did musical direction for Usher as well on one of Usher's tours. Like, he's been about, man. He's done his thing.
Fire. Yeah, that's dope. That's
dope. Very, very cool guy, and his hospitality as well is sick, man. Like proper.
Nah, yeah, you be living that. I keep forgetting that you've literally been on like a mini world tour, pretty much, man. It's actually
last
sick,
year
yo.
Was a world.
Does it sink in though? Because I feel like you just done it, and then now you're just back in the UK, just doing your thing. Like,
yeah, but you know what? It's, bruv. You know how mad this like this lifestyle is with all like the peaks and troughs.
Yeah, real talk.
Because it's like, I had a moment in January where I was stuck in traffic. After doing a school run, it took me an hour to get home from my son's school.
The guy's in Australia chilling next to me, stuck in traffic on a school run in Kent.
Yeah, and it was like, wow, last year, I was really like living on an aeroplane. Do you know what I mean? I feel like I lived in aeroplanes and airports. And then January, I was basically in dad mode, you know, like just doing the school run, early nights, like just doing up home vibes.
So
it's weird, like it sunk in. What I did last year has sunk in, but at the same time, it's such a contrast. I think it's quite a dangerous thing in some aspects, you know, because I've been through it before where I've had like very, very high points, incredible moments, and then the week after, normal life. And it really does, like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if there's a science behind it, and it's like the adrenaline and then the cortisone and stuff, all the chemicals.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Having something amazing, then the next week not having that. Or I don't know if it's just a mentality of how insecure the job is, and like that could have been my peak. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I like to think I'm far from having peaked yet, but last year could have been the best year of my career ever. Yeah, it might be downhill from here. Do you know what I mean?
I feel like we've said it bare times on the podcast, didn't it? It's learning to not get too high off the highs and lows. You got to kind of just sit. It takes practice though to learn to just sit in the middle, because 100%. I remember when I done the Beyonce thing and I was like, "Is this it?" And I remember 6 months after that, like, I just thought shit would like semi kind of happen. I didn't think it was going to happen for me, but I'm thinking, yo, this could be like the entry point to where I'm actually going to like move. At a bit of a higher level. And then 6 months later, I'm like back to normality and doing my thing. And I remember feeling a bit, man was semi-depressed, mate. Like, and I think, man, I learned from that moment.
It's a real thing, bro. And you know what I actually learned though? When I finish a big tour now, I go on holiday.
Yeah, you have to.
Literally have a week off and have a holiday. And what I've found that does is it takes me off of the really high adrenaline, extreme work show mode into... I'm still doing something amazing, a little bit less adrenaline, still different surroundings. And it's like a nice step down off of the tour. Because, I mean, I call it post-tour blues. It is the real thing. People, like, if you've ever been on a tour, you will have it 100%.
PTB.
Yeah,
there you go.
PTB.
We're claiming that one.
We've just diagnosed the disorder. Yeah, PTB. And I could guarantee you, yeah, any active DJ or artist that's doing... any kind of shows where they're getting like these real good high feelings, they feel it the next week. I can guarantee it. So, and it's, brother, I'm not even going to lie. It's a hard thing to manage.
Wow.
It is a really hard thing to manage. Especially, you know what January's like? You know what January's like in the clubs? And someone asked me, I did one of my residencies in January and it really wasn't very busy at all because it was just a shit week in January and nowhere's busy. And the photographer actually came up to me. And he nudged me and he was like, bruv, he's like, what are you still doing here? Like, does it not feel mad that you've done like big stadiums and massive sold out shows last year and now you're here? And I was like, yeah, it is a bit mad. I'm playing at this point. It was still early as well. At this point, I was playing to like 20 people in the room. And it was
shouldn't laugh.
No, I mean, the good thing
the
is...
guys concerned.
Yeah, the good thing is it was still quite early anyway. So, do you know what I mean? It wasn't like, we're at the peak part of the night and there's only 20 people. But yeah, it was just like, yeah, it is weird. It is weird doing 80,000 people at Wembley, and then within a year I'm stood DJing in an echoey club to 20 people. That is very, very strange, but it's just part of the process, bro. Do you know what 100%. I mean? It's just part of the job. Like every chef, they cook the most amazing meals, but they still got to clean the kitchen afterwards. Yeah, you know what I mean? There's good parts of the job and there's shit parts of the job.
They're still going home and whipping up a little beans on toast when they're on the ones. Yeah. Not on it today,
exactly.
Bro.
Exactly that. So nah, yeah, it's changed, man. But post tour blues, yeah, it is a real thing.
That's a mad thing. I need to get my shit in order, bro. I'm not on.
Yeah, I know, because I know you've got a tour coming up, bro, and that, like, it's going to be a successful tour. So it is something also for any other DJs that have big opportunities coming up or big tours coming up, just to be aware of. Like, you're going to have the big tour. It's going to feel amazing. Your social media is going to be popping. You're going to be the guy for a week.
For a week. And then you're going to be the guy.
Real talk, four days. Bro.
It's true.
And it's going to feel like, oh, this is my moment. This is the moment that I'm going to blow up. But really, like, what I've actually learned is blowing up doesn't come down to one moment.
No, it doesn't.
Blowing up as a DJ, that's your career. Like, you have to build that over time. Look at every single DJ. They didn't just pop overnight. Even though it looks like some of them did, they really didn't.
It's like you just said, it's part of the overall process, man. All them little contributions, the little tour shows, the club shows, everything, it all combinates to the bigger picture, innit? I think my boy DJ Banks 100%. Tweeted the other day, even doing like clubs and stuff. He's a lot younger. He's been DJing for a couple of years, but he does like some bigger tour shows. He's in and around like the H camp and stuff. He's a fucking 30 DJ and a top guy. And he tweeted,
who is that? Sorry,
DJ Banks is called.
Right. Okay.
So he tweeted the other day and he was like, isn't it just weird when you leave the club and you're walking back to your car and you just feel lonely, bruv? And I was just like, bruv, how many times, innit? I think I said it in lockdown, you'll be online doing a stream to 300 people and the music goes off and you're just sat in a silent room when you want, you know what I mean? And the reality hits. And it's the same when you leave a club, like you're the main focus of the entertainment. But then you leave the club and you go back to your whip on your ones and you go back to your crib and it, like, there's that. No, man, it's trying to find a balance of not letting it. Do you know what I mean? You can't let that pull you down, but I can see it gets lonely, bruv. That's basically 100%. The point I'm getting to, and that's what I said to him. Like, this game can be a lonely game, brother. You're the main focal point of entertainment. You're leading from the front, but then the reality is, when the music goes off, 9 times out of 10 you're alone. Do you know 100%. What I mean?
You know what? It's funny, actually. I'm not really prepared at all for this conversation because it just came up out of the blue. You know what I'd really like to do on this podcast is bring in like a doctor or a scientist or somebody that understands the chemical levels in the body and what happens when we get adrenaline and dopamine and cortisone and all these levels, like pop it, like how they, because it all affects your mood. And I would love for someone to break down and explain to us why that happens chemically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why, when we're smashing it to a crowd, why is it the best feeling in the world? What is going on inside my body to make it the best?
It's like a calm down, man. It's like when you see about man take it, like people when they're hitting the drugs and then they have the calm down afterwards. And it's like,
it's like a chemical balance.
It's a natural calm down. It's a chemical imbalance in the brain where you're all the way up there and then within 10 minutes, you're all the way down here. And I think it just takes a lot of mental practice to really get that shit nailed in, because when you're coming through DJ and these are the things that you tackle earlier in your career, innit? And you have to 100%. learn to figure them out. But man,
I'd love to get a doctor on.
That's a shout.
To actually really explain why that happens, and also they might know how to stop that happening.
True. Yeah, I think you've really got to look after like your mental, exercise, eating right, real. Sleeping right. I think all them things combinate to it. I do none of them. So
I love that you said sleeping right. DJing and sleeping right are so oxymoron, bro. They don't go together.
No, it's true. That was another thing I wanted to touch on today, because I think I put it on my Twitter this week, and I've been trying to work on changing like my body clock around, because obviously I'm in my 30s now, and for a lot of my career, I've always been this guy that goes to bed at 5-6 in the morning. Even if I'm not DJing, it's a 5-6 a.m. thing, getting up at midday to 1. And I was like, can't keep doing this. But But obviously, does the DJ with the DJ life, it's hard. Like, I know obviously for you, you've got a little one, so like you have them reasons to really be up and at it in the morning. I don't, so it's too easy for me to just be like, yo, man, we'll go bed at 5, 6 a.m. live, get up at one, it's cool, crack on with my day. Like, I'm super productive at night. And then I feel like just more for health reasons at the minute, I've been trying to work on, especially since the turn of the year, trying to really turn that back around. Obviously, if I'm DJing, it's impossible, but throughout the weekend stuff, try and go to bed earlier, try to get up and be more productive in the mornings. Like, we're recording this pod at the earliest we've ever recorded, and I'm awake.
This is record timing, bro. And you know what? You said to record earlier today, and I'm not even going to lie, no shame.
I said before
I was really surprised.
It's crazy, like, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so, I think it's just, and I'm really struggling to turn it around, bro. Like, I'm doing it, but I can't sleep, man. I just,
you know,
can't.
What it is? Like, it's mad for us. Like, first of all, touching on the fact that I've got a son. One of the things for me that helps keep me very disciplined with my sleeping pattern is the fact that when he stays here, I have to be up in the morning to get him up and get him to school.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, bro. Like, so almost every night that I'm not working, he stays with me. And yeah, if it's a school night, then I'm usually lights out by midnight and I'm up at 7.
Okay.
Or the latest I'm up is really 1 o'clock and I'm up at 7. That's to get him ready. And also what happens is I take him to school for 8 o'clock, 8:30, I drop him at school. I hit the gym straight away. Okay. And then that sets me up for the day. That's my motivation.
If you get up tired though, and you hit the gym early, like, does that give you more energy?
I do get more energy. I get a burst, but usually at about 1 p.m., I start to slump a little bit.
Okay.
And that's what, so I'll eat something to give me a bit of energy. I'll always have about 15 coffees through the day as well. Not 15, but easily four, maybe five coffees during the day. But wow. When it comes to nighttime, if I'm not working, I can be in bed, lights out. Absolute latest is 1 o'clock. And I'm very lucky because I can actually put myself to sleep very quickly. Like, I just can relax myself and switch off, and then I'm gone within a minute.
Right.
Putting my head on the pillow. Easy.
Yeah, so it sounds like you got the easy part nailed in. If that's the bit that I really have a problem with.
But do you remember I said before when we spoke about it, like, I mastered the art of 10-minute naps.
Right, okay.
So do you remember, like, we did an episode on this ages ago.
I know,
like,
you've brought this up
if
before.
If I was having a long day, like a school run day, so if I'm up at 7 and then I know I'm going to be in a club till 5 in the morning, I'll have a 10-minute nap. And I'll do that before I go to the club.
That would finish, man.
Like, for me, I used to do 27 minutes random. Like, I won't go into why because we've covered it on another pod. But I used to do 27 minutes, and then I basically brought it down because I didn't have enough time to be sleeping for 27 minutes. And I got it down to 10 minutes. And I can lie down for a 10-minute nap. As soon as I lie down, I set my alarm for 11 minutes, and I can be asleep within a minute. And then I'll sleep for 10, wake up, tricked my body into thinking it's had a whole night's sleep.
Yeah,
I'm good to go in the club.
The way you train your body up to be able to do that, like,
took me a couple of years.
Yeah, that's crazy. Actually, like, to be fair,
go on.
Now, I was gonna say, someone actually hit me up, some random guy on Twitter that doesn't even follow me. I don't know if he's like a sleep expert or something. Like, I actually had bare random people tweet me reply to this, which is mad. And he put, you don't even need to sleep 7-8 hours in a row. In the Middle Ages, 3 to 4 hours was very common. You would sleep 3-4 hours, wake for a bit, read or do something, and then when you feel sleepy, go back to sleep for another 3-4 hours. He was like, back in the day, like, 3-4 hours was like, I don't know whether that's the same, obviously, now.
Yeah.
Or whether he's chatting a bit of nonsense.
I hear that, but you can't really compare the Middle Ages to now. Back in the Middle Ages, you died 100. At 36 years old from cholera. Do you know what I mean? Like, either that or your life expectancy was 26 because Vikings came and pillaged the whole town.
I kind of hear it.
I agree though. I don't think you need, like, they say 8 hours sleep is a good thing. I don't think 8 hours sleep. It's difficult because Some people do 10 hours sleep and that's how they function. Some people do 4 hours sleep and that's how they function. I think it's just what you train your body to do. But you know, I remember hearing like some super successful people. I think Puff Daddy is one of them. And I think Akon is another one of them.
I've heard Diddy talk about this a couple of times.
They don't sleep for 8 hours in the nighttime. What they do is they'll go to sleep when they're tired, basically. And they'll sleep for like 2 hours. Because, you know, there's a whole scientific thing behind it of like REM and the sleep cycles and stuff like that, mm-hmm. like rapid eye movement sleep and then deep sleep and all of this stuff. There's a cycle. So if you, I don't know exactly what it is. I probably should have looked it up. But let's just say it's a 2 hour cycle. If you sleep for 2 hours, you've completed your sleep cycle. You're going to be good to go again.
Wow.
But if you sleep for like 2.5 hours, you're going to be half an hour into the next cycle. And right. it's harder for your body to then wake up.
Yeah, I hear that.
Because you've completed one cycle and you've started the next cycle of rapid eye movement, sleep and stuff. I mean, again, I might have the timing slightly wrong, but that's generally the science behind it. So these super successful people, they just sleep for like one quick cycle, then they wake up and they get well productive, and then they sleep when they get tired.
Yeah, I feel like
it makes perfect sense.
No, it 100% does. It 100% does. And I was doing that. Like, so I wasn't getting tired till some days, sunrise, bruv, sun's coming up.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, I feel a bit tired now. But then it was more of, I do a lot. If I was just DJing, it wouldn't be a problem. But because I'm tapping into so many other different things, I have to be productive in the daytimes too, to squeeze everything that I need to. And I just wasn't doing enough in the daytimes, and I was like, I gotta try and get the ballot. I'd be interested to hear from other DJs, especially like DJs that are also like business owners and do other things outside of music, because you can't just be sleeping all day, bruv. But then, like you say, you have to be active in the night, and you're in the club till whenever you're traveling, you're moving around. So it's,
yeah,
some people have children, families. Like, there's, I'm quite lucky that I don't have all them extra commitments, and it's just work schedule. But
what's mad is some people have children and families and conventional jobs, like a 9-to-5 office job,
yep,
and they're DJing as well.
Exactly.
Like, they're the interesting ones. It's like, when do you get any
productivity? When do you sleep, bro? No, it's true. It's true, man.
It's weird. You know what I think, like, with people like us, where we've been doing it like 10 plus years, 15 plus years, whatever, in the clubs, we're conditioned. So like, I know for a fact, my brain is conditioned to be at its most creative from about 1 a.m. onwards.
Yeah, but
so previously on a night off, so like if, for example, if I don't have Roman staying here overnight, if my son's not here, I tend to stay up a bit later. If I stay up past 1 o'clock, bruv, my brain goes into overdrive. And suddenly I just want to do loads of stuff.
Yeah, I
get really motivated and I get really creative. Some of my mixtapes, we spoke about the mixtapes last week. My best mixtapes I made from like 2 in the morning till 6 in the morning. Yeah, sat in the studio just doing stuff, getting creative from about 10 p.m. It gets to 2 in the morning and that's it. My brain's like, okay, let's go. Bang.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I would be up creating mixtapes till like 6 a.m. And yes, that's when the best stuff ever came out. And I think our brains are programmed and conditioned because we've been doing it for so long that the brain thinks, okay, it's 2 a.m. or it's 1 a.m. or it's midnight or whatever. That's when we're DJing. That's when we're at our most creative. So the brain's like, okay, let's go. Do you know what I mean? And that's just kind of what it is.
Yeah, so
I think
progress.
That's why.
It's a work in progress, mate. It's going to take me a minute. it's going to take me a minute. Right now, I feel knackered now. I'm tired right now, bro. I can't lie. I force myself up. At the minute, I'm forcing myself just because it's never going to flip around. So that, now I'm just like, I'm forcing myself awake in the mornings and just getting up. Whereas before, I'd go back to sleep, man. Wake up in 2 hours.
I think as you get older, I think it will calm down. But the thing with you is you have a lot of stuff going on. You're spinning a lot of plates. You've got the podcast. You've got the DJ bookings. You've got Compound to look after. Well, we're talking about sleep. I'm just yawning my head off. You've got Compound to look after. Do you know what I mean? You're in a relationship as well. So you have the energy that you need to put into the relationship to maintain that. You've got all the other stuff that you've got going on. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, for us as DJs as well, because because of our career, because like our work is not just given to us. Our work isn't just assumed like in an office job. If you get an office job and work for a company, you're pretty much, unless you do some mad shit, you're assumed that you're going to work there.
Unless you roll up in the workplace and start sending.
Yeah, no. But do you know what I mean? Like, if you don't get fired from the job and you don't decide to quit, it's assumed that you're going to be there until you retire. Every Monday, right through to Friday. So you don't have to worry about, in 6 months' time, am I going to have any work? Generally, I'm generalizing with people in the conventional jobs. But like, us as DJs, bro, we've got to be on this 24/7 to make sure that the work is still running.
Yeah, real talk.
We never ever switch off. I've said this before, and actually I put it as an Instagram caption one time, and so many people were like, this is so true. My 9 to 5 is a 24/7.
Oh yeah, 100%. 100%. I feel like entrepreneur, just being an entrepreneur in general, even outside of music, like if you're in charge of your own business, the brain it does in DJing as well, but I just feel like even if I wasn't DJing and doing events and other bits and pieces, like I would feel like I would just need to be, when you're in charge of your own destiny and you're not working with somebody else, like you say, you're conventional, like 9 to 5s or whatever, then you don't really, even if you think you're switching off, you not really are. Like your brain is always ready to kick. Do you know what I'm saying?
You know, the people that have got it sorted are the ones that set up the businesses that they then can have some kind of autonomy behind it. So like the ones that can set up a business, create the clientele and the customer base, and then the business just looks after itself.
Yeah, 100%.
The problem with our job, me as DJ Double, if I want a night off, I can't, or if I want a week off, that's DJ Double has a week off.
Mm-hmm.
I can't put anyone out. I can't turn to a manager and be like, okay, cool, I'm having a week off, you hold the fort.
Yeah,
because the manager can't do DJ Double. Like, I am DJ Double. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, this is the problem with us as the product. If we're not present, the business isn't there. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Sure. Because we are the actual product. We are the brand. And I think that's why it's difficult, because we can never, ever step away. I can't just sit down and be like, you know what? I've got enough business now. I've got enough clients. I'm just going to relax on a beach in Thailand and let the DJ Double brand just work for itself and earn its own money. Because if I'm not in the clubs, like it doesn't, nothing happens. Do you know what I mean?
I feel like as I've got older, I have learned to switch off more and take like little breaks here and there. Whereas I go back 10 years, like 19, 20, in that early 20s, I would, brother, it was just gung ho 24 hours a day, boom, 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 just constant. Like, you would never, switch off. You'd be relentless all day, every day, posting, mixes, DJ, boom, 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 boom. And then it, like, well, I've definitely had burnout once or twice over my career. Like, now I've learned.
Facts.
100% facts. Like, now, I think now that I'm in my 30s and I've just, like, you do learn to detach. And even just, I had problems just sitting down on the couch with the missus and watching a film, mate. Like, that's how bad it was at one point. I couldn't relax. And she'd be like, what is wrong with you? Like, you're still with me though. Flipping heck. But even just recently, last couple of weeks, I'm learning to just put my feet up more, man. Take a chill.
Yeah, that, like, focus mode on the phone is an amazing feature. We can just block out, like, your phone doesn't beep, block out any WhatsApps or calls for a bit. Just put focus mode on, like.
Yeah, 100%.
I quite like that feature. Anyway. I do that when I'm spending time with Roman. If I've got, like, I call it daddy time. If I'm doing daddy time, then my phone focus mode is on. You can't reach me. The only way you're reaching me is if you call my phone 3 times in a row. Do you know what I mean? So like, if there's an emergency and someone calls me 3 times in a row, then it will ring. But WhatsApp doesn't beep. I have Instagram notifications off anyway. As you know, I don't have Twitter on my phone. Like,
you're a waste, all of that man. Stuff.
So it stays in the background. But I think that's part of it. Is the fact that we run our businesses through the phone as well. So and the phone is constantly with us, which means the business is constantly with us, even in our downtime, even on our holidays. But you know what? When I'm on holiday, I go on airplane mode, bro, and do not come off airplane mode until I'm back.
Yeah, I'm definitely addicted to my phone. I would struggle doing that.
Oh, 100%. I'm addicted.
Yeah, it's definitely an addiction. Holidays. I can't even do it on holidays. Like, I can turn off and relax and not like be on my phone active, but I can't turn it off like that. Like I'm not at that point, bruv. Like I can't. I just can't do it.
I can. I can disappear for a week. Everyone that needs to know knows where I've gone. Everyone else, you can wait until next week when I'm back off my holiday.
Real talk. Like,
and you know what? I really learned in lockdown, because before lockdown, I did it before lockdown, the airplane mode on holiday thing. But in terms of like being able to step away and being able to actually switch off away from work, I learned that in lockdown because work stopped.
Because there was overnight. No work, bro.
No, because there was, but you know what I learned, bro? I got
forced.
because the mentality was suddenly I actually started spending a lot more time. I spent time anyway, but I was spending a lot more time with my son. And it was like,
I think life just became more valuable as well through lockdown. No, but I tell you,
100%. But for me, it was like we were doing stuff together and I was enjoying the stuff we were doing even more because I didn't have work on my mind.
No distraction. Yeah. What's it called? Being present. That's what they call it, don't they? You're actually being present.
Exactly that. Being present. I really was, because it was like, okay, well, our job's illegal. We're not allowed to work. So I don't even have to think about work. Like I had issues trying to get the streams running. Do you remember most of lockdown? I didn't stream because I had so many technical difficulties. So I gave up on that. And then it was literally like, I don't have to work. I'm doing my home tutoring. I'm just spending time with my son. We're just doing vibes every day. And that was it. And it was very, very peaceful because like I didn't have the worry of shit, are the bills going to get paid? Where's my next job kind of come? Am I booked up for the next three months? Like none of that. The work was completely cut out of my life and it was peaceful. And obviously towards the end of lockdown, it was stress. I wanted to be back to work, but it did teach me that it needs to be balance. Our 24/7 job, you do need to switch off. You need, as a DJ, you need to have a day. There's guys that will say, yeah, you need to grind 100% of the time, all the time, just to make it.
Nine days a week, 27 hours a day.
But and I used to be that way. I honestly did. I used to be like, yeah, if you're not putting in the work 24 hours a day, you're not going to make it. But I really think, like, you need to have a day off. You need to have a day where you just step away, maybe turn your phone off, just be in the real world for a minute, collect yourself and actually experience something and then come back to the job.
Yeah, I feel like a good way to have the balance there as well is having friends away from the music industry, innit? My missus says this to me all the time. Oh, yeah. Like you have all your homies and all your friends and acquaintances within the industry, but sometimes you just need to go out with the man them away from that, in it, and it's not an industry thing. Like, and have normal, like, to say it's normal. Normal's probably not the right word to use, but having them genuine friendships away from your career, man, and talking about normal things. Like, I was so wrapped up in the music shit. Like, that's all I wanted to talk about. I just wanted to be around industry heads, music, 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 DJ, 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 and all along that. Like, the key was to just step away and do normal shit, man, with the homies and that, like. Never be too busy for your real friendships, you know what I'm saying? Like you can get so wrapped 100%. Up in this shit, you forget that your mates are even there sometimes, and you're just chasing the game, chasing the bag. Like
it's a difficult one with that, because, and this is another place that I've struggled, because our work schedule is generally the complete opposite to people who don't work inside our industry. So like a lot of my closest friends, they're like, a lot of them work in like the trades and stuff. I don't really have many office-based friends. So they're all like tradesmen, builders, plumbers, electricians, that kind of stuff. It's funny because one of them in particular, me and him used to joke about the fact that as soon as I get into bed, he's getting out of bed.
Yeah, that's like nice.
Separate beds, obviously.
Pause.
Like I'm getting in at 5 a.m. from work. He gets up at 5 a.m. to go to work. Do you know what I mean? And like, and then on a Friday, he finishes at 3 o'clock, hits the pub. Him and the boys go out for the weekend, Friday night, Saturday night. Well, hang on, Friday night, Saturday night. That's when I work. I'm in the club Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah.
And my friends don't like the music that I like. So they're not coming to the club. Then it doesn't help at all.
I feel like when you get older as well, bro, them homies ain't stepping out anyway. Like when you get older, like these people settle down, get married, and you're not getting these people out like that. Like,
no,
because we do the one-offs with Compound and it has a bit of an older crowd. Like we get people coming through because we'll do Sunday the afternoons and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? So it allows people to step out from time to time and you see faces you haven't seen for years, but the priorities change when you get older, brother, but because it's our job. We got to be out here. Like, how many generations of students and different age groups have we seen come and go in our career? Like, it's mad. The cycle's never ending, brother. And we're still, and you're still out here. Like, it's actually fucked, bro. It's actually mad.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
But yeah, the friendship thing, I definitely hear the friend thing because it's nice. When I do actually get to catch up with my friends, it is a proper switch off.
Yeah,
couple of them like video games as well. I do like a video game every now and then.
Love so a little Xbox properly, night, you innit, this guy.
If I'm having downtime, bro, Call of Duty with the boys. Do you know what I mean? It's like, but we don't play online
this?
Together.
What's this in the notes?
Hold on, we don't. I wrote that ages ago. Yeah, we don't play online together, but we'll meet up and we'll all be in the same room playing it together. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I hear that. Double stores going.
did you hear that?
Doubles got neighbors knocking on.
There's a delivery.
Doubles wrote a topic in the notes for today. Is stylus a pum pum? Thanks.
I thought it said stylus is a pum pum.
No, it says is he. And you was asking the question. You have to ask the
listeners. Oh, is it a question?
You have to ask the listeners. There you go. Yeah, just want a good night's sleep anyway, guys. So if anyone's got any advice for man or you want to share anything, you know what I mean? Hit us up.
Stylus just wants to sleep. So if you guys have any suggestions,
Taking magnesium. I'm taking magnesium supplements. So that's kind of helping me a little bit. Doing the whole chamomile tea and that, a little bit of that in there. I'm down to one coffee a day from 4 or 5, same as you. Okay. I'm having one. And I don't drink coffee after 1 o'clock in the afternoon now. That's it.
Really? After 1 o'clock in the afternoon?
After 1 o'clock, mate. I've got my one coffee from this morning that I'm still drinking now. And you know what, bro? Because I've been high on caffeine since I was about 12.
Yeah.
Like, the tiredness does kick in at random times and that, which it just wasn't before because I was just amped up, yo. I was just coffeed out of my head all day.
Like,
just running around, a giant fucking coffee bean, yo. Like, there's problems.
You know, diet is really important. And cutting coffee out is a key part of that. Like, eating healthy,
drug, man.
Eating the right stuff. But I the thing is, I don't, and I never have, like, I've never done drugs, and I don't do drugs, and I don't really drink alcohol that much, apart from when I'm in Belfast. Big up to Mark. and we'll get to that in a minute. But
he's coming to the brunch, mate. Get ready.
I know. I spoke to him yesterday. But coffee is like my thing. Do you know what I mean? That's like my vice. I love a coffee, and I'll have a lot of coffees. And if I'm out, I'm stopping at a coffee shop.
Whoa. You were talking to a coffee don right here, brother. It's hurting me. Like, you won't see me without a coffee in my hand all day.
But
You
know what? I respect it though. If you're cutting off coffee at 1 p.m.
Yeah. They tell you if you want to sleep by like midnight or whatever, like you shouldn't be drinking coffee for like 10 hours before you go to sleep or something like that. 8 to 10 hours, I think it was something along them lines. So yeah.
But I think people like us are less sensitive to it though, because we've been drinking it for 4,000 years, 18 million cups a day.
Yeah. It doesn't help that I got ADHD either, because my brain is already scatty as fuck, bro. So then when you mix that with 9 coffees,
I mean,
and then
I didn't want to bring it up. I'm glad you brought it up.
I have to bring it up.
That's definitely one of the issues and one of the reasons why your sleeping patterns messed is because 100%. Your ADHD makes you just create 50, like, you, I know you constantly want to be creating and want to be doing something, innit?
I have brain farts, mate, like 50 times a day, and like it'll just come out. Like, people probably see it on the pod, people probably think I'm rude. Like, we talk over each other, I'll just blab, but it's like, it's not even on purpose. It's not even on purpose. Like, my missus tells me that, like, you really need to think before you speak sometimes, and like,
yeah.
But it's not even a purpose thing. Like, my brain is just wired up differently. But I've learned to accept it.
Who wants to think before they speak? We get the best hot takes when we don't.
You know what I'm saying? So, I've learned to embrace it since lockdown. So, yeah, man. I'm out here just wild, though, because I refuse to take meds for it. So, there you go.
You know, when I feel like with going back to the sleeping pattern stuff, I think I had a better sleeping pattern when I was doing like five residencies a week. And
Okay.
I was consistently up at night time. Like 4 or 5 a.m. was the normal bedtime. You know what's messed me up the most is when it's like, so like, what day is it today? Today's Tuesday. Last night, Monday, I was in bed at a reasonable time. I was up at 7 o'clock this morning to go to the gym. It's half term as well, so I wasn't even doing a school run. So I was up 7 a.m., went to the gym, did my thing, came back. Yesterday was the same thing. I was up at 7 a.m., went to the gym, but I didn't have work last night, so it's cool. I'll probably do the same tomorrow. Thursday night, I'm playing in Norwich. So that's
Late.
going to be a super late one. And then that's going to knock me on for Friday. I'm not getting up at 7 in the morning. I probably won't get in until 7 in the morning. Do you know what I mean? And then Friday afternoons when I'll probably wake up some point like 12 or 1, then I'll go to the gym. But then it just puts everything out of sync for the weekend because now I've got to play Friday night. But I know I'm not finishing till 5 a.m. I don't get home till 7. Do you know what I mean? And then it's like, when then Sunday comes, I've worked Saturday night, which is another late one. Sunday comes, I'll have little man again. So I'm actually up doing stuff and it just puts me all out,
When you
mate. It
have
just it
routine in
throws
it,
me
like
off.
you said, five residencies a week, you get in the routine, and then I used to use that as an excuse, like in my own head. If I wasn't DJing in the week, I'd be like, well, I can't go sleep early because I'll just fuck up my body clock and then I won't be able to work at the weekend. So I'm just up till 5 a.m. every night, and that's what I'm missing. People like, you just need to try and go sleep. Like, yeah, but I can't because when it gets to Friday, I won't be able to stay awake when I'm DJing. Like, and I just tell myself that, but I kind of got around that in it, but. It is what it is. This is the life we chose, bruv. This is the life we chose, mate.
It
Can't
is,
figure.
it
We just
is.
gotta try and figure it. We gotta figure this shit out together.
I
We can
mean,
do this
we've been doing
together,
it
man.
this long and still haven't figured it out. I don't think we're figuring it out
Definitely
anytime
not. I've definitely
soon.
knocked about 25 years off my life.
Well, you know what? Actually, that's a real thing. Like, people that don't have consistent sleeping patterns do live shorter lives, apparently.
100%. It's not good for your health, man.
It's
That's
quite concerning, bro.
It's very concerning. That's when you heal. Someone even hit me back and said, "Have you done like a sleep? What did he call it now? What did he say? It was basically you can do like these sleep tests where they monitor you and figure and kind of figure out. It's like a scientific thing, but I don't think I want to know the answers.
Like
So,
medical sleep studies and stuff.
pretty much, yeah. But I'm not involved, mate. I'm not
Yeah,
involved.
they can do that and they can tell you the quality of the sleep that you're getting and everything. But the thing is, for me, in those environments, you're surrounded by machines, it's a different
There's no
room.
way
My
I'm
bed's probably
sleeping,
not the
but I'll be
most
sat there
comfy.
anxiety to death, mate. It's not going to happen.
I'm all right. I'm very lucky in a sense that, bro, if I wanted to, I could fall asleep now. I'm not even tired, but I can put myself to sleep. That's where I'm quite lucky, is like going back to those 10-minute sleeps that I said I could do. I have trained myself to just grab sleep when I need it. I have my proper sleep overnight,
Love that, man.
where I'll sleep for like 6 or 7 hours. And then
I'll tell you
if
what.
I'm
I'll tell
getting
you what's going to
tired, if I'm
happen
tired at
now.
7 p.m., I shut my eyes 10 minutes and then I'm good to go.
Well, if people are struggling to sleep, this episode might help them. Talking about sleep for half an
All right, story time, story
Story
time. I went
time.
to Belfast at the weekend.
And turn
Shouts
into
to
a
Mark.
Jaeger.
Shouts to DJ John Boy, my guy.
There you go.
Big up to Blase as well and Kierda, all from Thompson's.
Get
And
Curda.
anybody that's been to Thompson's to DJ knows exactly what I'm saying. Mark is a dangerous man.
Shout out Mark. For anyone that doesn't know, Mark owns the venue, and
Thompson's.
it's basically a Belfast establishment. I think he's had it for like 25 years, man.
Yeah,
And
it's like it's I think it's like the it's the spot.
bro, you want
any
to see
night of the week, basically, it's the
the
spot in
growth of that
Belfast.
venue, brother. The first time I went over there, it was compared to what it is now with the big extension off the back, the outdoor bit, and it's a venue. And like Mark is a guy that gets the DJ thing. Like he understands how to look after his team. He understands how to look after his DJs. Like the
Yeah,
place,
100%.
like it's run immaculately. I have to say,
Every time I've been there, I don't really remember my set, if I'm honest.
I don't remember anything from the last one as soon as I left that fucking pub.
So for anyone that doesn't follow me on Instagram and didn't see the adventure on Thursday, this is a standard Thursday if you go and play in Belfast, by the way. Arrive, get to the hotel, chill, whatever. Probably about 7 o'clock, Mark will turn up. John Boy came as well. Blase came. Oh, big ups to Doc Junior as well. Doc Junior was
I seen Doc
there.
Was out there, man.
Yeah, it was kind of unexpected, man. But Doc Junior showed up, so yeah, he was there as well. And we all grabbed some food together, and basically the drinking began, and it the whole night.
You must started early.
Yeah, like 7 o'clock or something like that.
That first shot I seen you post, then I just thought, oh no.
And it starts with shots of Jaeger. And every shot of Jaeger comes with a beer or some kind of drink.
Yep.
And no shit. Like when I do this, yeah, I have to post it on my story to remember the next day what I drank. And long story short, we start at the hotel bar, get some food. And then I don't even know what time it was when we left the hotel bar or how many rounds in we were. But then what happens is Mark will take you to, or he took me to pretty much every spot in Belfast that's open on the way to the club. And that's a lot of spots. And you'll get there, you'll have a shot of Jaeger and a beer, hang about for about 15 minutes, then straight onto the next one. Another shot, another beer, 15 minutes, straight onto the next one. Another shot, another beer, and so on and so forth.
It's when the tequilas come out, brother. That's when you know.
There was tequilas in a couple of them as well. And
the progression, the slow progression to the 40% shots.
I'm not like a heavy drinker. I'll drink occasionally, but I'm not a heavy drinker. So this finishes me, bruv. I was meant to be at the club. My set started at 12:30. I think we got to the club at about 1:20.
Yeah, normal. It's crazy, right?
I think, bless John Boy. Big ups to John Boy. I think he was fuming with me because his message the next day was like, yeah, cheers for coming at 1:30.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, mate, but actually... I can't even take the blame for that. It's Mark's fault. And then, yeah, I mean, licensing laws in Belfast are 2:00. Everything shuts at 2:00.
Is that, yeah, I feel like that's crazy. That the fact that they've still not managed to extend. And I know they do, actually, I won't even say, but they're coming over sometimes. It's definitely been a few times when I've been there and we've gone over and the doorman's like, fucking stop the music.
Yeah.
But yeah, the 2:00 thing is techie, but like, especially when Mark refuses to like let you go to the club early. Like we say, you want to get to the club early, check out the DJ, pre the venue. It's never happening out there. Like,
you can't get away. This time, usually I'm like a little bit waved. I'm in a good vibe and I'll get there at 12:30 and smash out the hour and a half set and it's all vibes. But, excuse me. I don't even remember my set.
That's crazy.
I don't remember the first song I put on. I don't remember the last song I put on or any of the songs in the middle. I have no idea. Absolutely no idea whatsoever.
I feel like your experience on Thursday was exactly the same as my last one. Well, literally exactly the same. Started Jaeger's 7-8 o'clock, all the bars, through that Heart Bar, got the local bands doing all the on the guitars and all that shit. Tequilas are out, proper Irish vibes. You get to the club. A bottle of Jaeger with a flipping spout on comes out, pouring that down your neck. It's dribbling all down your face. Then you've got a DJ. At this point, I'm struggling to set on my laptop. Don't remember.
struggling to set on my laptop. Eyelashes, let alone set up the laptop.
Don't know what I'm playing. Don't remember much. Don't know if it was a good set or not. I took a video at the end. I just remember the club still being busy when the lights went on. So I was like, all right, cool. No one's left.
I've done all right.
Mustn't have been that bad then. But the next day, mate. When you've got to go through that airport as well. Belfast Airport, yeah. A little tiny thing, but it's not the greatest of airports. I'm not trying to cuss it out. But there's not many good little food spots in that. When you're in there contemplating your life, the depression hits.
Just sat there. I was just sat there by myself. So first of all, I got in the cab back to the airport the next day and I had to tell the driver, I was like, can you crack the window, please, mate? Because...
Oh, Lord.
Like, and he's... Bless him. He was a really nice guy. The Northern Irish people... The Irish people as well, actually. The Northern Irish people are really friendly. Like, they're nice. They like to talk. They like to chat. And the guy's sat in the front driving me, talking, asking questions. Mate, I didn't want to know.
Don't talk to me, bro.
Like I'm trying to hold my life together right now. I'm trying my absolute hardest to not be sick everywhere in the back of your taxi and ruin your day. Please just let me concentrate on holding my stomach inside. Like I don't want to talk about work right now. But I'm a polite guy, so he's asking questions and I'm answering them. And I'm sat behind him with my eyes closed, just answering him. Just wounded. Got out of the cab
still
at the
liquored,
airport.
Bro. Still liquored at that point, trust.
Got out of the cab at the airport, walking through the doors, and the temperature changed, where it went from being cold outside to being really warm in the airport.
Oh, yeah.
Just hit my body. And as I was walking, no bullshit, it's the first time this has ever happened. As I was walking, I went,
Oh, shit.
I felt like my stomach was like, okay, eject. I gagged, I retched. I was like,
Unsaid eject, you know.
Yeah,
it's an action
honestly,
film.
the stomach was like evacuation time. Get it out.
And then I
very nearly threw up all over the airport entrance, but I held it down. And it went through security. Oh, there was a queue. Queuing for security with a hangover. It might have been paranoia, but I'm sure people were staring at me because I must have looked so bad.
Oh, just like, dearie me.
I just stood in the queue like this. Not good.
At the time, it always feels like a good idea. And to be fair, I love going Belfast. And Mark is fucking just a legend. Like, the whole setup there is sick. Like, I love going out there. I think I'm going out there next month. So, like, I'm mentally preparing from now.
I can't wait to see your story.
No. I didn't put it. I didn't even put any of that on my story last time.
Put it on.
I knew what was coming. I think I've been going to Belfast for probably like 10 years, man. And it happened by accident. I think Play was meant to be going out there, who's one of the founders of DJ City UK. He couldn't make it. Threw my name in the hat. And then I went. So I kind of met him by accident.
Mm.
And yeah, 10 years later, I was still out here.
He'll just
hit me up like, want to come to Belfast?
Yeah, literally. Like, he shouted me like 2 weeks ago. He was like, do you want to come over? Like, yeah, okay, cool, let's do it. My liver is ready. My liver was not ready, apparently. Yeah, man.
Big up. Don't let us put you off, though, guys.
Battered.
Don't let us put you off. It's lit.
Belfast is
the venue
lit.
Is sick.
I really like Thompson's as a venue.
Yeah, it's lit, bro. It's so hard. Like, we could really do with something like that here, man. Like, the layout with the balcony all around, looking down, and the way the booth is like sunk in, and you go down into the stairs into the booth,
and it's
hanging over. Lit, man. And
you know what's amazing
as well.
About that as well, though? Like, Mark cares.
He cares.
All of them guys care. Kida, who's like the manager for the whole building,
yeah,
she
she's
cares.
A legend, man.
Like,
legend.
John Boy's a sick DJ. Blase's a sick DJ. Like, all these guys, like, they really actually care about the music. And the club has quality. It's not just the meat market. It's not just a place to go to see everyone else. Do you know what I mean? It actually is high quality nights, yeah.
There's a very good standard of DJ out there as well, man. Like obviously John Boy, you got Tez out there, like Hicks as well. Like, there's a bunch of super dope. I probably missed a couple there, to be fair, off the top of my head, but there's a bunch of
some people are gonna be angry with you.
No, brother. The DJ standard out there is hard, man. They're all good with the cuts and the scratching. And yeah, man, very, 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 very tidy, man. I can't lie. Like, I love the whole scene out there. They have a night. Mark has a night called Funkorama as well, which has been running for as long as I can remember. And I think it's like on a Wednesday night, and they do like it has like the b-boy dancing and like proper, like heavily invested in like the hip hop sound and like a proper cultural type thing. It's lit, man. Like, they're keeping it alive, yo. So big up Thompson's, big up Mark,
big up Thompson's. Get CJ me. Went out there the week before me. He did two nights in a row.
He probably did Funkorama the night before then as well, I imagine.
No, I'm not even talking about DJing. I'm just talking about drinking with Mark.
Oh, snap.
Two nights in a row. What a machine.
Yeah, yeah. To be fair, I feel like Mark's gut is made of sandpaper. Like, the liquor just lands in there and just doesn't do anything.
Iron stomach.
The guy is built. Because it's like you never see the guy drunk, man. And then the next day, he'll just be like, yeah, I'm going to play football. I'll take the little one to school and that. All right, safe. I used to be like that in my early 20s, bro. Me and G2 used to get, like, alcohol was like part of it. Like, I couldn't DJ without getting licked. I'd be licked 3-4 nights a week. So Tuesday, I remember Tuesday nights, especially a night called Tuesday, we would go to the bar, and it was like it was a joke. We would go bar, 50 Jaeger bombs, please. Yeah, safe. like it was a joke, and then we'd do it again, and then we'd have a bottle of vodka brought over. Like, it was like literally some of the times earlier on was crazy. I haven't had a drink since New Year's Day. What are we on now? 14 for Feb. What I'm saying, the dry Jan has turned into 6 weeks. So on Sunday you might see me a bit lit.
Whoop.
Doubles coming to Manny. Doubles coming to Manny, aren't you?
Vibes, absolute vibes.
What else have we got on this list today, man? We can definitely touch on something else before this maintenance guy comes and kicks my door down, man.
So,
some intro. Oh, let me have a look. What we got? We got a couple. See how we never even cover our topics.
Yeah, I know.
We're so sky, man.
I feel like if we want to. No, let's leave the ones that are on the list. Now, let's talk about them next week because they're deeper ones we can go into. What was the one you sent me earlier? I like the one you sent me earlier.
Oh, it was the people still book DJs based off talent.
Yeah, let's cover this.
Oh, is it just a popularity contest? So that was actually
Say it again as a title. Let's title off this conversation.
This was a post from, let me find
Brian OVO.
That's it. So he put a post up online, which was very, very interesting. And he wrote, do people still book DJs based off of talent, or is it just a popularity contest? Which is an interesting one in the world of social media. And we find ourselves talking about this every week. We find ourselves talking about Instagram. We find ourselves talking about TikTok. And I'm just going to say it from my own experience. It's just from me personally. I will not book a DJ off following alone.
Mm-hmm.
It just can't happen. There's so many times where I've seen a DJ with a big following and they might be throwing out like some dope content, and then you see them in the club and the pants.
Yeah.
This has happened several times. Like I think I replied to this tweet, and for me, like, there is other factors involved of why you book a DJ. I think you have to take into account, like, obviously, like, relationships. For me, being a good person is very important. If you're a dick, I can't book you no matter how good you are. That's another thing. And the talent is so important, man. I don't care about the following side of it. It could play a little bit of a part, but that's probably one of the least important. I think Donch was tweeting about it, and he was like, yeah, I definitely just get all my bookings from the talent thing because I'm not even out here on social media like that. So it's either a talent or it's a relationship based thing, because obviously relationships are so important, isn't it? You're only as good as like your phone book, sometimes they say, or I mean, like your network to get work and all that kind of stuff. But I feel like a lot of promoters will do the popularity thing and forget about the quality control side of it, to where what they're providing is not of a good level.
Yeah.
But in turn, that popularity of the people they book brings the ticket sales.
That's the thing. It's such a tricky one because, as like from a promoter or club owner's perspective, some of them don't care about the quality of the DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I hate that, that's okay. It's their club. It's their business. That's how they want to run it. Do you know what I mean? The owner of McDonald's clearly does not care about quality of food. They're talking volumes. Do you know what I mean? That's why McDonald's is not a Michelin star restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Sometimes the chips are cold. They don't care. People are coming because it's a popular brand. It's not the best brand. It's crap food. And I feel like the same does apply in some instances to the DJ world. It's like the most popular and the biggest influencers that are getting bookings and the most popular social media DJs generally are not the best DJs.
Yeah.
Bro, some of the biggest DJs in the world are not the best DJs. David Guetta, Calvin Harris, they're two of the biggest DJs in the world. I could spin them out of their skeletons if it came to a set. Do you know what I mean? Like, bro, put me next to either of those two in a set and watch me just outdo both of them. And I'm not even the best DJ in the world. Like, I'm very good, but I'm not the best. So these are two of the biggest DJs in the world. They are far from the best DJs in the world. They're two of the most popular. So like, but if you put me in one of the biggest IB for clubs and tell everyone DJ Double's going to be here, it's €50 a ticket, probably not going to sell the place out. Put David Guetta in there or Calvin Harris and tell everyone it's €50 a ticket, you're probably making $1 million on the door. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
it's definitely the balance of, it depends on who's booking, really, like the concept of the event. Like, obviously, for for me with Compound, we have our reach and like I have the audience that will come. So you can afford to not go for the bigger headline or the more popular DJ, and you can base it more on the talent. Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously popular DJs will bring crowds to the events and whatnot, but if you already have a steady brand that's built and the numbers already come, it was the same with Jam. We could afford to just book the DJs that we thought were dope, that we thought would that had the talent, because we already had the crowd there. But then some people come into it where they don't, and the booking these people for turnover and for numbers. Do you know what I'm saying? So I think it really does depend on the venue. And like even like Thompson's that we just spoke about then, like hence why people like us get booked. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we're not the big headliner or the big social media guys or whatever, but they've got a solid following and you know what I mean? The club is built and the numbers always come through the door. So we can afford to just put people like us in there, knowing that we can provide what is needed. But we're not on the higher end of like the social or the, do you know what I'm saying?
It's something that DJs on the whole like love to complain about this. Mm-hmm. But what I think they need to do is choose where you want to be. Like, do you want to, I'm very fortunate in a case that my network of clubs, and when I'm doing guest sets and guest bookings, every single place I go to books me because I'm good at what I do. They don't book me because I've got 1 million followers on Instagram, because I don't have 1 million followers on Instagram. Do you know what I mean? These are established nights that just they just want good DJs, and so I get booked. And me and you have very similar circuit as well. You know, there's a lot of the DJs like CJ Beats as well. We all kind of have a similar network in the case of these nights will book all of us within the year because they want good DJs. And that's where we fit in. Then there's clubs and events that want to book Joey Essex or Danny Dyer. Do you know what I mean? Like any of these big, I can't even think of any more.
No, it's true. It goes back to that point of who's booking.
These big, like, influencer celebrity DJs. But I don't get mad at it, if I'm entirely honest with you, because they're not the clubs and they're not the type of nights that I aspire to play at. That's not that I don't want to be stuck in a club full of 2,000 people playing generic pop music. That's not where my career's headed. 100%. I would rather play to 200 people playing sick music that I love. So I think as a DJ, you just have to decide where you want to fit in. If you want to be the really talented guy and get booked purely off your talent, then you need to find those niche nights where people give a shit about music. But if you're getting angry that there's some Paris Hilton's been booked because she's an influencer or whatever, do you know what I mean? Like, if that bugs you because you want to be in that position, then don't worry about how to scratch. Don't learn all the technical stuff. Get the bait songs and focus all your attention on social media and making yourself a big social media personality. Because that's when you're then going to get booked for them clubs, when you've got 1 million followers and you're a celebrity off your social media. But
I think Santero said it the other day, actually, in one of the group chats. Someone was complaining. Someone was like sending for a DJ or some social media or whatever. And he was just like, look, that's not even where I'm positioned in the market. This shit don't affect my bookings. I'm still going to be out here. I'll still be out here doing my thing like 4 or 5 times a week playing whatever, regardless of this. So why put my energy into that? Like, that's where they position themselves. And I completely agree. Like, it's where you want to put yourself in the market at the end of the day. Do you remember back in the day when it used to be heavily about socials and like man would book you and want to tap into like your Facebooks and that? Do you remember when you could hack the events on Facebook with like a code and it would invite everyone in one go in that?
Yeah.
that's what it used to be like back then. Like, it definitely happened like coming through earlier, like when we started getting a buzz around town and people would tap into you for that. But as the career's grown, like you learn to know where to put yourself, man. And like you say, all our bookings definitely come from the talent side more than the social 100%. Media.
There's a couple of Geordie Shore people and stuff that like they do the little DJ circuit and they get paid a couple grand for it and they're absolutely shit. Mm-hmm. They're terrible.
Yeah.
And the club fills up. There's Love Island people. They're shit. They don't even do anything. They don't even DJ at this point. They just get booked because they're off the trending person off of Love Island and the club sells out. But
That crowd don't care though, innit? The crowd that they're bringing, they don't care about the DJ. They're there to fanboy and see this.
They social media bait songs. They're not there for good music. They're not even there for any music. You could turn the music off and they're still staying if the celebrity person's in the building.
Have you ever DJed them nights before?
Yeah.
And you do them, they come and see the guy. The guy that they leave. No one cares after that. Everyone's gone. You're just there picking up the pieces afterwards. You're thinking,
nah. It's happened. But that's where when the clubs are smart and they have a good resident, the resident can hold everyone in the room once the booked person's left. But I think again, that's where the crossover happens is where you have a good DJ that has aspirations to be the biggest as a resident, for example, or maybe just booked to do a set. And then you have one of the, I'm going to say talentless, but everyone knows what I mean. Like the talentless DJs are booked or the influencer DJs are booked as the headliner and paid thousands more than the person who's actually got the skill set.
I think that's more where people get stressed over that point.
That's where the anger
they
and where
charge
the
that number because they know what they turn over in ticket sales. So like they'll always say when you inquire for these people, and even when you inquire for some of the bigger DJs, the questions they ask you as a promoter is, how big's the venue? What's your ticket pricing?
Blah, blah, blah.
And then they'll quote off that to get a slice of the make because they know they're highly contributing to what's coming through the door. So it's a techie one, but unfortunately these social media people, they do turn over numbers, which justifies their price. But if you're going to base it along DJing and quality, it's not even about that 9 times out of 10 in that line.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it goes back to that place of where you put yourself in the game, bro. Like for me, when I book people, I don't even expect people to share or post. Like I'll make assets and tag people and whatever, but I will not be on anyone to share this, share that, post this. Like have I even asked you once to even share anything for Compound? Like I don't ask, like it's not. That's my job as a promoter. For me personally, that's the way I would go about it. And if people share or post it around, then it's a bonus. That's great. But yeah, it's a techie one, man. And I feel like that's never really going to go away because social media is only going to get bigger and bigger. And the problem will always be there. Like some brands and corners of the market are going back to booking DJs. There's a lot more niche events now and a lot more single-owned, like independently-owned brands. Like Compound and other bits and bobs, Trap House up here, Habitat, all these other ones, they will just fuck with and put on real DJs the way it should be.
100%.
Like you say, 100%. That's that corner of the market, brother. So again,
that's the thing. I mean, that's my answer to that is it a popularity contest or is it talent? Mm. Like it's both. It just depends where you're looking. If you're looking at the biggest places and the mainstream places, then it's a popularity contest. But if you're looking at actually some of the dope spots and some of the really cool places to be, no, it's about talent. And over there, we don't care how many followers you got on Instagram.
We don't care.
So the sweet spot is right in the middle. Do you know what I mean? If you can capitalize on the social media influence and be sick at what you do.
Then you've got the perfect
killer combination. 100%. The only thing is, I actually can't think of a single person that ticks both.
I feel like you have DJs that can put out sick content that maybe don't hold it too well in the club, or people that hold it sick in the club and ain't really fully active on socials. You're right, trying to get people that have the good balance of both. I'm active on Twitter and stuff, but that's more of building a personality thing. It's not really a content thing.
I struggle
being consistent with content. But I love to yap, so I feel like in regards to being a promoter, that's what's helped me engage an audience in that way more than sharing content and bits and bobs. Obviously, with the mixes and stuff, that's been built over the years. But again, we spoke about that last week with the death of the DJ mix and all that kind of stuff. So,
I think as well,
you find the balance of both you're in.
And the other thing to take into account, I think the popularity contest thing is a shortcut to bigger money. But I also think it gives you a shorter career span.
Yeah, 100%.
Because trends, people don't care. Like 5 years ago, whoever won Love Island 5 years ago, no one cares now.
No, it's shoes.
They're not getting bookings now. Where even are they? Do you know what I mean? They, if they weren't smart enough to launch a brand that's doing well or get some kind of presenting job, where are they?
There's one or two little exceptions. Like you got people like Joel Corey and stuff who have gone on to do like number one hits, top tens or whatever. And I've never really seen a DJ, so I can't comment.
Because that's ghost producers. So whoever's whoever's in charge of Joel's brand and product, like,
I actually know the guy. Manager. Might get me in trouble. I don't think I'll get in trouble saying this, but I actually know the dude. I won't drop his name, but I know who made that, like, that sorry hit. I can't live to remake. Like, it's one of my boys. In my, yeah, but it's not out there like that. It's the who's it is.
But if you're a music geek, you can look it up.
No, you can't, because because I think he had to sign a thing to say that it wasn't even him. And
no, I'll be on production credits. Hold on, I'm not sure it is, brother, right now.
Because I went to a studio session.
Did you sign an NDA?
He might have done.
No, I didn't. You're letting secret information out the back.
No. Song credits. Let's have a look.
I'm literally searching.
Oh my god, he's on there.
Yeah. See, I told you. Like, this information is, if you know how and where to find it, you can find it. It's not secret stuff. But yeah. But so whoever's done, like, Joel Corey's...
Yeah, but he's under the writing credits, not the production credits. Mad team.
I mean, same difference.
But he made the track, yo, because he actually got the file up right in front of me.
Yeah.
Anyway, mad ting. If you see me dropping house bangers in 6 months, shout me in it. Ghost produced by James Hype.
What was it, James Hype?
No, that wasn't James Hype. I'm saying I'm going to get him to do some bangers, yo. I'm going to be out here like Joel Corey, mate.
Who's your friend? Is it Lewis?
Dean.
Dean. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And, brother, when I tell you, one of the most surty producers, but low key off the grid.
Yeah.
So cold with it. Even like Litek and YJ.
Some of the best producers are, bro.
Bro, I look at Litek and YJ now. They've been out here making it. They're behind some of the biggest hits on the streets right now. Doja, all of them.
Most of RD's catalogue.
Bro, I grew up with them guys, man. And like to see where they are. Obviously, we had Litek on in lockdown.
Look
at him now. Guys, go back and listen to that if you haven't already, by the way. We managed to get him before he turned into a fucking super duper star.
Celebrity producer.
Yeah, man. But to see the growth of these guys, like, they were super low key with it too. They helped build so many artists in Manny producer credits, like, and now they're I think they've connected it together. Yeah. So it's like YTech. YJ, yeah, they've done a joint collab and brought themselves together as like a proper camp, like, brand thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, them guys are gonna be out of here for a long time, mate. Trust me.
Yeah, shouts to them. Anyway. But yeah, anyway, I think to conclude that one, that's the answer. If you want to be popular, get your social media popping, but don't worry about being the best DJ in the world. However, your DJ career probably won't be that long. Or if you want to be amongst the best and live forever as a DJ like me and Stylus, don't worry about the popularity.
If you want to be immortal,
get your skills up. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I don't care about my popularity, if I'm honest. I don't want to be unpopular, of course, but
I've got 10K on Insta.
Yeah, I don't care that I don't have a million. I don't aspire to have. I actually think having a million followers on Insta is a long day, bro. You've got to watch what you say. Imagine
long day.
Look how sensitive people are these days.
Too sensitive.
I can't say half the shit I want to say on my story if I had a million followers. I'm not even that outspoken. I don't say controversial shit. Do you know what I mean? But someone out of a million people, one person's going to get super offended by my story. 100%. I can't believe he's on a train to London. Do you know what I mean? Someone's going to be upset by it.
If I spoke my truth on socials, my career would have ended time ago.
Being good is better than being popular. And I mean, it is possible. You can build a whole entire DJ career off of your talent.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've done it, you've done it. There's a whole list of DJs that have done it.
I feel like the popularity comes here. If you're out here on socials, whatever, and just being a genuine, nice person, they're not even forcing it. Like the popularity just comes without even trying to chase it, if you know what I'm saying. I wasn't out here trying to be popular or make myself popular. I'll just be out here trying to just do well by me and be a good person and chat a bit of cud here and there. And it kind of just built over the years, but it wasn't something that I chased or craved. When we started Jam, we were nobodies. We were nothing. We were just three decent guys trying to put on a ting.
It's
one of them. Like, if you chase it, then whatever, in it. But if you're out here just doing the right stuff, I think it just kind of happens, man. People will gravitate.
Donch is a good example. And him saying about him getting it off his talent, I kind of agree with that, because when I say he's not a popular DJ, now it sounds like I'm cussing him and saying he's shit.
He said it himself on socials, bro. He was involved in this.
So what I mean is, he's not a popular DJ in terms of, you could go to most towns and be like, do you know DJ Donch? And a lot of people, the just normal general club goers, would say no. He can walk down the street without people being like, oh, look who it is, da da da. But his talent has gained him the popularity in the industry. Bro, do you know how much these industry guys and the artists and celebrities and stuff love Donch?
No, it's true. He's a G, bro.
Julie Adenuga loves Donch, bro. Yeah, it's true. Like, it's true. Loves him with her whole heart. I see it every time she writes about him on Twitter.
No, she does, man.
And I like saw him shut down a party. I think Kano was there going absolutely not. Like, so Donch's talent has brought him into those circles. Right? See, now he is popular in the right circles to get him about in the industry. He's done it the right way.
It's like we just said then, bro. It's been a good person. Donch is a good, kind-hearted
brother. Yeah.
Good, kind-hearted brother. So, like, again, it just naturally happens sometimes like that. He's fucking dope, and he's a good guy, innit? So them combinated, again, is accepted into them good circles, man. He's out here.
Combinated.
I don't know. Is that even a word?
Combined.
Did I just make up a new word? That's what we do on the talk over, bro. We make up words.
Yeah,
combinated. What was the, I prefer
combinated, sounds better anyway.
Sounds well better, innit? Combined. Yeah. Dead word from the 50s, that mate. What did we invent at the start of the show? Post tour what? PTD.
PTB. Post tour blues.
There you go.
Yeah.
Shout double, he's a doctor.
Post tour blues combinated with talent.
Being a social influencer, Clark.
Yeah, there you go. What more do you need? Anyway, Talk Over Podcast. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Double. He's Stylo.
Hello.
And we're not popular at all, but we are in the top two DJs in the country. Just going to say that.
And number one in Finland.
and number one podcast in Finland. Big up all the Finnish lot. Finnish? Are they Finnish? Is that what you call
them? Big up the Finns, man.
The Finns. No, Finnish sounds better. Sounds more correct. Finnish.
We might need to record another one because the tour starts next Tuesday. So if anything, we'll squeeze one in before then. So if you get another episode online, if we might give you a little bonus, yeah?
You lot are going to get a bonus level. So anyway, at TalkOverPod on all of the socials. And don't forget, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube videos as well now. The whole episode is now coming back to YouTube due to popular demand. So, like, you lot have been cussing us for the videos not being available on YouTube the whole episode. So they will be now from this week.
You know what it is.
So big up yourselves for listening. It's for the DJs, by the DJs, Talk Over Pod, tell a friend to tell a friend, and all those other generic catchphrases.
You know what it is.
See ya.
You know what it is.